Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
FanFan.com. Also, 590 The Fan app, Cam, which is how I listen to it in the gym.
That's how
morning.
I do too, man.
Absolutely right. So,
the new app, by the way.
That's right. If you have the old app, you're probably
getting rid of it.
A lot of issues because it's not up on the App Store anymore.
The new
what
one's
I would recommend is you delete that app, then you go back to the 590, to the App Store, both Android and Apple, and I would put in 590 The Fan. I would download it. And you will stop having all of those mangy little issues.
It is nice, nice, nice. And all you do is press that little button, like, dink, and it goes right up, boom. All of a sudden, you're hearing Doug Vaughn in no time.
You can also follow the 590 Facebook page.
Yeah.
In which case, you can see, not today, obviously. Where's the camera
today,
Rob?
It's hidden.
But it is up most of the time up on the 590 Fan page. So I would recommend that as well. TJ Mo, Cam Jansen. Sam Nunnally, who is intern Sam and or Jack, right? Jack is what we call you officially.
No one calls him that but John.
Okay.
Nobody but John.
And he adopted that name when John called him that, he said, which I thought was a little weird. I was trying to stick up for him, and he said, no, my name is Jack. Matt Rock, you here as well. Running the board. Thanks for hanging out with us, everybody. 855-282-8255. Your thoughts are welcome. That is, you can call or text. And Gino, you cannot call. But you can text.
I always wanted him to call. But
yeah.
I
like Gino. We met him one
time. Oh, he's great.
He doesn't know anything about baseball, but outside of that, he probably does know something about baseball.
You hear that, Gino?
Cam.
Yeah.
I went on my honeymoon.
Yeah.
And so I didn't get back until Friday evening. So then Saturday, I was kind of running around trying to get myself collected from a business standpoint most of the day. But about 7 o'clock Saturday night, my buddy that a lot of the listeners would know, Andrew Wilson, who was a captain at Mizzou, he was my roommate. He called me. He said, hey, bro, my uncle works at a big corporation in town, and they have a suite at the PGA. Do you want to go? I said, heck yes, I want to go. So Sunday, I spent the day being wowed by Tiger Woods.
Oh, yeah.
Like you would
not
believe.
You and everybody else, dude.
So... okay, there was a really cool spot. First of all, the suite was right in between the tee off at 10 and the green of 18.
So that
was
you're on the turn there. Perfect.
That was a fun place to just kind of chill. But the best place, and the place that we actually hung out most today, was they had the green on 5.
The beer tent? Oh.
No. Hmm. There's a big hill in the corner. You had the green on 5, then you had the tee box on 6, and then... you couldn't see 7, but it came back, and you had the green on 8, and they were all right next to each other.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to see 3-hole. It was amazing. So we stayed there most of the day, and Spieth wasn't really in it. You saw him. It was just cool to see Jordan Spieth.
Yeah.
Rory, obviously, he was only 2-under to start the day. He wasn't really in the conversation.
Struggled.
It was fun to see him. Then you saw, like, Jason Day was there, and you saw some other guys, like fun dudes that it was just the guys, the big boys, Justin Thomas and such. But there was nothing like seeing Tiger Woods turn the corner. I mean, nothing. So we were there. Like I said, we got there, but I think we got there around 11, and Tiger didn't tee off till 1:30. So we mostly, I think by 11:30, we're standing in that spot. So we were just chilling, waiting for Tiger. And so we were up close, and I have some pictures I'll show you later, Cam. But the pictures are incredible.
Of your honeymoon?
Yeah.
Oh.
But also of the PGA Championship.
Okay.
So... we were around the tee box on 6, and so by the time Tiger came around, we were still in the same spots. We were like, you know, the second row of people, you'd say. But you turn around when Tiger hit, and you couldn't walk anywhere. That entire hill filled up.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, this isn't like, you know this, Cam. It's like a concert. Who cares if you can really see him? You can still hear him.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, you know, 60 rows back, who cares? People were feasibly... 40, 50, 60 rows back of people. Couldn't see anything, but it was okay because that was Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Like, I have never seen... It reminded me, and this is... so this is... obviously, I'm only 27. During the heyday, I wasn't alive during the 80s, so I didn't see this. But the way that people always told me that people reacted to Michael Jackson is how I imagine, like, what I saw Tiger have. That's how I imagine it happened to Michael Jackson. Like, people were walking around just to touch. It was just crazy.
Yeah, there was videos of grown men, just groups of grown men, audibly pushing each other and shouting at each other to be closer to Tiger's lie. Like, where his ball hit, they would shove each other, and they were like huddled around.
Oh, they embarrassed themselves.
And it was 40-year-old grown
men.
Yeah,
my buddy Travis,
doing exactly
too.
Like what TJ is saying. They were breaking down like they were in front of their favorite boy band. It was pathetic and kind of beautiful in some ways, though, because it was awesome, because it was like these guys are so just obsessed with this one player, and they are completely losing the fact that they probably are all raking in hundreds of thousands of dollars as CEOs of companies in this city, and they are just becoming 5-year-old children reacting to this golfer. It was kind of incredible, but also
we're not
kind of
under
sad.
Any sad. Illusion that this was actually similar to Michael Jackson or the Beatles. Like we actually watched
or Elvis,
like Steam,
but no,
those are in the hundreds of thousands. But it's the same type of reaction where people are doing irrational things just because somebody walked
and just
by.
Like bubbling down to just adolescence in just in moments as adults. Yes. It's pretty incredible to see.
And so you watched the whole thing, Cam.
I didn't miss a second.
So
4 days straight.
You saw it. What I loved, and because I've been Tiger won his first Masters in 97. So I was only 7 years old back then, but we've all been paying attention to Tiger for a long time. And over the years, up until 2008, really, when he won his, I think it was 2008 that he won his last major. So he won 14 majors during
2005.
That time. Was it 05 that he won
four,
his last
five.
Major?
Oh, 2009?
We'll look that up. Whatever. Right. Anyway, it's right around that. By the way, it's been over a decade. So no matter what we're talking about here, it's been a long time. And that Tiger was so different from this Tiger. So this Tiger walked around genuinely happy to be good at golf again. Like, it wasn't an expectation. There's something, you'll know this, Cam. When you were out there skating around, getting ready to fight guys, there was no glee in, like, I can't believe I'm here. This is amazing. Like, maybe your first game. But once you were good and ready to fight guys, you were just out there ready to grind.
Yeah, I just had to do my thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in the zone.
And that's how Tiger was, like, his whole life, right? Because the glee of, like, being out there was, like, when he was a kid.
Well,
you know, like, his dad trained him into the ground where you are going to win. His dad has a famous quote saying, before it's all said and done, my son will win 14 majors. Like, he called it. He already knew since he was a kid. So that Tiger, the old Tiger, walked around. There was it was a quote on Twitter, and they're 100% on. The old Tiger cared basically where his ball was, what his caddy said, and where his dad. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody else existed.
No.
He didn't like any of the other
players. Except for the Perkins girls, of course.
He didn't like anything. Right. This Tiger was high-fiving people. This Tiger was happy to be there. He was smiling. After he knew he lost it on 18.
He didn't know that at the time.
He
still
did, though. He came out.
Kepka was... Kepka could have ruined.
It would have been a major collapse. But he said, the reason I say that is because they interviewed him before Kepka was done. And he's like, yeah,
Kepka wasn't,
came up
wasn't
short.
Missing anything. That guy was locked in.
And the glee that you saw from that fist pump was amazing.
Yeah, and here's another thing for that. Like, you're on top of the world, and you're living in a different stratosphere. And when you're that popular, you push everybody outside and you just focus on what you're doing. But then you collapse, and then you go through hell, not only with your wife, with people hate you, death threats, you're on horrible painkillers, you're abusing your body in so many different ways, and then you crawl out of it, and then your back goes out, and you go do it through all these different things, and all of a sudden you finally get your groove back. And he had a smile, man. He had a little bit of mannerisms that we haven't ever seen. He gave a little thumbs up to people. Like, little things like that. Like, I'm in it, man. I went through hell, and I crawled out of it, and now I'm back, baby. And I think, you know, I think he's starting to appreciate the fans. And not to mention, on top of it, though, was all how many people were there and just shows. Like, my gosh almighty, people still love me, still rooting for me, and I'm back, baby.
So I retweeted something from earlier today. Maybe this is a popular guy. I don't know who it is. Tom Rosaforte, I believe is his name. He's a broadcaster, analyst for the Golf Channel, NBC, and such. He's a best-selling author, according to his profile. He lives down in Jupiter. Cam, for context, he's got 176,000 followers, so there's a lot of people at least who know who he is. I'm not one of them. However, he tweets out about 18 hours ago, 'cause somebody asked him, hey, didn't get to see you at Belle Reve, but what a week it was for my club, whatever. And he tweets back, quote tweets, and says, Bellerive 2018 for the 100th PGA Championship was the new gold standard for high-energy, well-behaved golf audiences I've experienced. It's covering major championship golf in 1980.
Wow. Well-behaved, too.
Nearly 40 years, this is the new gold standard coming to St. Louis.
St. Louis is craving for attention, man. We're craving for something to watch. And, you know, this just shows that this is a sports city. And I'll tell you this. Not all those people that walk around, including, well, yourself, TJ, are huge golf fans. You're not. But you just appreciate what's going on in
this
town. I like
golf, but you're right. I'm not a huge golf fan.
And, like, Tiger Woods had a big deal. And if Tiger wasn't there, would it have been that packed? No. It wouldn't have been.
No, you're
but
right. You're
it
right.
would have. People still would have gone there. And, again, this city is craving for
it was the it, more about,
craving for something.
You're exactly right, Cam. I think, to me, I was not so much impressed by the people. There was a ton of people, and that's Tiger Woods. It was more how they conducted themselves. And that's what everybody was raving about. Rock, did you have something real quick?
Yeah, 618 texted in. St. Louis has had some bad spots of luck in the last 3 or 4 years when it comes to sports. So this last weekend was a nice reminder about how great of a sports town this really is, Cardinals and the PGA. I think that's 100% correct.
Thank you.
After you know, we've talked about it. I think, you know, we said before this Cardinals turn, we talked about how the Cardinals being like a 70-win team would I couldn't imagine the reaction to this city because of how bad the sporting luck has been. The Blues missing the playoffs and the Cardinals last few years. This was kind of the cap on 2 weeks of just a complete turn in that perception with what the Cardinals have been doing, and now the reaction around PGA, the fact that every golfer is just fawning over the fans.
So I want to read a couple of
those.
That
was incredible.
Bryce Garnett, who I'm not, apparently he's a golfer. I've never heard his name. Anyway, he says, thank you, PGA Championship, St. Louis, and Bellerive, and all the Missouri golf fans for an amazing week. This was my favorite tournament I have ever played. Brooks Koepka on the crowds said, I don't even know what to say. I've never seen so many people at a golf tournament. Justin Thomas, who, by the way, has won a major himself, so this is not new to him. Fans and people in St. Louis, y'all were unbelievable. Never heard roars like that in my life. That is what I thought and dreamt major championship Sundays were like since I was a kid. Now, this is the point I want to make about all that. All of this, I would take all of that with a grain of salt because I would say, well, that's the Tiger effect. That's not St. Louis. That's the first time these kids have ever witnessed Tiger being good. That makes sense. Like, they're all hitting their prime now. The last time Tiger was really in real contention in a major like this was a long time ago, and they didn't ever experience it. The roars they're hearing were the norm for Tiger for about 10 years. However, this to me is what changes everything. Tiger Woods tweets out, probably as soon as he lands back in Jupiter, I cannot thank the fans in St. Louis enough for packing the course all week and for their enthusiasm and support. It meant so much to me. And that is after he came out in the interview and basically said, look, the fans in St. Louis are incredible. Yeah, they'd pick a side. Mostly he's saying everybody was cheering for me. But I was playing with another dude, and they weren't jeering him. Nobody, like, when a guy hit a good shot, they got a huge round of applause. This is what golf is supposed to be like.
The only guy that was getting jeered was Kansas.
I was going to say,
Kansas,
but even so,
TJ,
he wasn't
voice.
Getting jeered.
No,
he was just getting cheered in a different way.
And he appreciated it.
Exactly.
That,
I think that's incredible. Said, it wasn't jeers.
You're not chirping his divorce. You're not chirping his family. You're chirping where he went to school.
The thing was, it was classy, right? If you walk up and everybody gives you an MIZ, you're like, okay.
Yeah, like,
you
know, whatever. Not like, how's that girl you knocked up 10 years ago?
Bingo. And they're also not ripping your school. They're like, this is kind of the difference in when you talk about class. Instead of, like, shredding somebody else's school, which, by the way, I enjoy shredding Kansas. There's a million reasons to do it.
You do on Twitter a lot.
But instead of that, like, if you can walk by a guy who's actually, by the way, leading the PGA Championship throughout a bunch of the time until he, like, went from bunker to bunker to bunker in one hole and dropped. It was like a triple bogey. But that guy who's actually in contention, you don't want to screw up his life. You're just kind of poking fun at him, right?
Yeah, like kind of get him off his game a little bit, too.
Yeah, maybe, right? The whole point, the intention is really just to poke some fun at him. Right?
Yeah.
It's a Kansas dude in St. Louis.
We're all having fun. Let's do it. Yeah, exactly.
And if you can play through that, more power to you, bud. You know, it's like, if you're just an MIZ, this is
not
hard.
If you did mess up and you know, the crowd's right there. There's no filter. There's no barrier.
But nobody was ripping them.
No,
I think
exactly.
That was the thing. Tiger has spent a lot of time with all the stuff that he's been through getting shredded. And so John Hadley made this point, and I know most of you hate John, but this I thought was a very poignant point. St. Louis has been through a really rough time since 2014 with Ferguson, and everything that went on, it was miserable. It looks like a racist city a lot of the time. It looks, you know, new stats just came out. It is again the murder capital of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
More murders per 100,000 than any other.
Well, now
city.
They got machine guns out in these gas stations shooting them off,
so,
like Syria.
It's really not been a good look. However, what a nice counter, or at least an antidote, to have a day where 50,000 people are showing up. Everybody's talking about what a good city is. And by the way, there's a white dude leading, and everybody's cheering for the black guy to catch him. I thought that was an interesting
story. More Asian than anything, isn't he?
Tiger's like 15. He was Dave Chappelle.
Dave Chappelle was going to say he's the Asian.
In the draft. But
so what?
It was just a good look.
Yeah, it was.
Make
of
that whatever you want. It was a good look.
One of the best comedy sketches in television history.
When he gets
the race draft is unbelievably funny. 314 texting in, I agree that the tournament was a huge success. Where I disagree with a lot of the local news media is that this is going to be some sort of ignition for our community as a whole. Disagree mainly because the people who were out there aren't necessarily representative of our whole city.
So
at the same time, I think
is
though,
any fan base representative of their whole city?
No.
So like, tell
well,
me,
I don't know. You ever been to Boston or Philadelphia?
You say that, but I have been to both Boston and
Philadelphia. Lovely city, and they seem like lovely people.
Right.
Until the lights go on in their stadium, and then they are the worst.
But generally, there's one crazy person that gives them all a bad rap, right? How many dudes in the Red Sox crowd were screaming the N-word? Just one.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody says, see, Boston is that racist city. Yeah, one dude in the stadium probably holds 40,000.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so when are the fans representative of a city? Ever. This is like Twitter's not representative of the overall community. While there are 300 plus million active monthly users, that's not representative of virtually anything. That's the loudmouths who like to complain about things.
Philly's got a bad rap in that department. If all the cities of fans being crazy and being ignorant and disrespectful,
yeah.
I'd say Philly takes the cake on that. But then again, you know, it's still.
But again, are the fans representative of the city? That's the thing, right? How many people in the city? What, I don't know what the metro area is. I know in St. Louis it's about 3 million. And we're saying that the 40,000.
3 million?
The metro area.
Okay, yeah.
Right, all the way into East St. Louis.
Yeah, okay.
So St. Louis is right around. It's like 2.7 million, something. The vast majority of them are not big sports fans, right? So when you say, like, it's a racist city, that's kind of a tough sell for me when you're basing that off of 40,000 people in a stadium.
Yeah.
Right? If you look at the Cardinals, and the Cardinals, by the way, it's representative of the fan base, not the city.
No.
I don't like when you make full assumptions about a city based on a fan base when somebody is liquored up and all riled up because their team's losing a game.
Also, I think, is the local media you saying this is going to be some huge ignition for the community? No. Is it saying that we showed up and showed out for an event and therefore giving a group like the PGA maybe a lot of reasoning to either, one, come to us and say, let's talk about something else here, or when we go to PGA and start putting in bids for the things, we say, look what we did last time.
Right.
That's where it comes in. And as anything, sure, some news people, some stories you read will probably over-exaggerate, and they'll use the word, you know, economic impact, and they'll tell you it brought $40 million, and you're going to roll your eyes and be like, how is this possible? Even so, you can't deny that it's bringing business to the city one way or another. It might not be $40 million, but at this point, are we going to turn down our noses and say anything like that is not progress or good for this city? That is, and again, it might be a little bit better if it was actually in the city limits, but hey, I'm not complaining.
It's a good point, Rock. The other thing is, I would like to give an applause to whoever set up the transportation. There were 300 shuttle buses running nonstop. I went and I left a little bit early. I watched the last three holes from Webster Groves. But I left with a lot of other people and I walked out. I walked straight onto the shuttle bus, and straight from the shuttle bus, I walked straight to the Uber and got home in like 15 minutes.
I saw one complaint, and that was like that one of the auxiliary lots by Westminster was
well
like
done. Tuesday was
like
mess,
falling
but that's
was like falling apart.
I
on
was
like
there,
Thursday.
Though.
That was all I heard.
Oh, Thursday.
Okay. Yeah, they said like by Thursday was like one of the auxiliary lots by like Westminster where people were getting dropped off wasn't doing well. But still though, for everything that's there, for how many times, especially considering it was all off the Chrysler plant, how many times have we heard about one accident just completely shutting down 44? And so I was worried the entire week that we'd get a story about one accident blowing that entire operation out of the Chrysler plant and just screwing over all the people who had parked there.
Yeah.
That didn't happen once, and I thought it was guaranteed. You're like, the logistics, I heard like one complaint, and that's it. And that's incredible considering how often that little one thing goes wrong.
So well done. And
in this city.
As a city, and I think it's much bigger in the city as a region, well done.
Yeah.
You had a week and a weekend that was huge. Whoever was here, I'm sure there was a lot of people from Iowa. There's people up from Arkansas. This is as close as you were going to be to a major here. Came and saw, and it was really well done, and everyone conducted themselves professionally enough so that golfers and people who have been covering the event for 40 years came out and said this is the new gold standard.
Yeah.
So just well done to everybody. Rock, do we have a text?
Yeah, Gino got you.
Yeah, Gino. I updated the app on my phone, but I still think it's broken. I still hear TJ and his uneducated, worthless takes on everything not related to football.
I think I study more sports outside of football a lot more than I actually do football, because I know football. So I don't need to study the
100%.
Like, you know.
I mean, we read about different things, but I honestly, even especially golf lately, gosh almighty. Like, I mean, you know, we watch golf, but I don't know the ins and outs of all kinds of things. Kate was asking me questions the other day watching the tournament, and I go, I had to stop her. I go, stop asking me questions. Ask me a hockey question, please, because I know nothing. You know what I mean? So, the last 4 days, I learned a lot about golf, man. I really did. And I played well yesterday, too.
We're all learning about all sports all the time. By the way, the fans, like, I do enjoy fans. Like, Gino obviously couldn't say I know nothing about football, or else he'd look like a fool. But, like, fans act like there are some really educated fans, but just as general. You're all learning more about all the sports every day.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you played up until the 10th grade, Gino, doesn't make you a professional opinionist on bowling or whatever.
See,
you
I think
did.
It does.
There you go. Professional opinionist. Hey, we got to go to break, actually.
Yep.
We're late on that. We'll do a read when we get back here, Cam. So this is The Hardline.